Welcome to Olives and Pimentos podcast. I'm speaking with
Lucas Stagg.
Yeah, man, right on. That's wicked. How you been?
I've been good. Nice yeah. to hear you.
Yeah,
nice
man.
Nice to hear your voice.
Nice to hear your voice too. I love watching you play. You play Saturn Wellington almost like twice a month now, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I get out there. I'm going to be doing St. Patrick's Day again this year over at the Handsome Devil.
Yeah, and then you played the Elora Brewing Company not too long ago, too.
Yeah, I'm there every couple months. I like that room. I like the stage. Andrew and the crew and, you know, Spencer. I've been doing the microbreweries kind of save the ass of some people, I think, in the recent years. So, just because they were able to facilitate the space for people to hang out in the pandemic, you know, so it helped us all get through.
Well, that's the thing too, is I think your music too, like it translates a lot better in a smaller joint than a bigger joint, if you will. I'm not saying like you wouldn't sound really good in a bigger joint, but you have that more intimate vibe, if you will.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you there.
Sure. Like I think your tunes are good, and all the cover tunes are good too. But your originals are one of my favorite songs. Is Three Rivers?
Oh yeah, okay.
It's a good one.
Little Canadian traveling tune. Yeah, that's on the last album I put out there.
Yeah, you don't always get what you want, or sorry, you don't always get what you expect.
Yeah, close.
Yeah.
Slightly borrowed from my favorite rock and roll band, yeah, but it's called You Don't Always Get What You Expect, is the title of the record, yeah.
Where'd that come from? Well, you just said it, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the line that came out, and it, you know, the song sounds nothing like that Rolling Stones song, but the line kind of made the cut, and that's what we ended up with, so. And it ended up being the title track, and there's two versions of it on there, so.
That's totally cool. And you released that, so how many releases do you have out now? You have quite a few.
Yeah, I mean, if we go back to like 97, to the Room 101 days, back in Cambridge where I grew up, I don't know, it's something like somewhere between 12 and 15 kind of albums over the years that were actually like developed and released. There's probably a few more that, well, there's definitely a few more that are sitting in the can somewhere. Three or four.
Yeah. What do you call it? Yeah, because like even like the album Off We Go, I like that album a lot too.
Hey, right on.
Yeah, cool. Man.
We're kind of doing a retrospective of that album because it's the last two are Off We Go and Don't Always Get What You Expect. We're playing this Sellers and Newell bookstore on Wednesday here in Toronto, which is kind of a joy. A lot of like international touring acts are coming through and playing there. Again, it's like you said, it's small, it's interactive, it's kind of the perfect venue. It's a $20 ticket, and so that's happening this Wednesday, March 6th. But so we're doing basically a retrospective of those two albums.
Okay.
So
is it just going to be you, or is it going to be the full band?
It's me and Cleve Anderson on drums, and Tristan Schultz, our most recent bass player. But I say most recent, I guess it's been like 5 years because the pandemic happened, and he joined the band a year before the pandemic, so it feels like we've, it kind of feels like we've only been together for like 2 or 3, but it's been 5.
That's good. Well, yeah, the pandemic really fucked the whole world up a little bit. A little bit, right? Yeah. Like be nice about it.
They put a dent in rehearsals and band gigs as well. So
were you guys practicing and like doing live streams and stuff like that during the pandemic?
No, we did. I was doing stuff with Cleve and the Beat Club, which was our little kind of offshoot punk trio with Patty Byrne from. He's in a band called the Itchy Bonds as well. They're opening for the Damned in May here in Toronto, actually. So Patty plays drums in that band, but he plays bass. He was playing bass in the Beat Club, and we did like a rooftop concert like the first August in the pandemic, which was pretty fun. You can find pictures and some video online of that show. So it was pretty cool because it was very hot, actually. So we were on my rooftop here in Toronto, and it was kind of like, okay, how do we do this without, I don't know, getting arrested or, you know, people feeling okay, or, you know, secure that they're, because like COVID was still going. It was just the summertime, right? So people were a little less worried about it or whatever.
Yeah, they had less restrictions.
It was just kind of like, I don't know if you remember, like it was the first August.
Yeah.
So the restrictions were still there, like for inside, right? So, but we were on the roof. We spread ourselves apart on the rooftop, and people down in the street were, you know, people in the street are allowed to be out in the street at that point. You just weren't allowed to be inside. We're like, we gotta fucking play, man. So we did. And it was pretty special. People down the street really appreciated it. Just being able to hear some live music for the first time in 6 months or something, you know?
Yeah, no, and that's the thing too, is like when I was, when Jennifer and I first started dating, we went and saw a punk band called Belvedere and Dead Cemetery. And they ripped too. Hamilton, it's the only, like, I think there's only like 2 bars in Hamilton that have like venues. I forget what it was fucking called. It was a small spot though. It was like downtown Hamilton. And like when we went to the show, like I think it was like after the first lockdown stuff started opening up.
Yeah.
And that was weird because on the stage they had like plexiglass and everyone was like, they had security going through the crowd saying, yeah, 2 feet apart, 2 feet apart. But at the end of the day, like, you're still in a small space. And, like, I don't know. It didn't really make any sense to me how everything was going down. Like, whatever. Like, I believe in the fucking disease for sure. Dude, my mom passed away from it. But it's, yeah. Anyways, whatever.
I had a rough go with it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I hear you.
I never, unfortunately, like, I never got it.
Well, that's lucky you.
Yeah.
I had it about 3 or 4 times.
Really? Yeah, no, I had
it. The first run was pretty debilitating, and it was, I kind of had to learn how to sing and play harmonica again, and I still sing and play that way. Like, I had to readjust my breathing, and it was bad. Yeah, so I sing differently now because of it, you know.
Oh, really? Do you? You've noticed?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I had to shorten some notes, and I did this and that. You know, I don't really have to do that now, but it was just like different breathing methods for singing, and just because of shortness of breath.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
So, it wasn't great.
No. I'll say that wasn't great. So when did you start, you start playing music in your life?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a loaded one, eh?
I guess, like, you know, there was Macaulay's Music down in Preston, Ontario, part of Cambridge there.
Yeah.
And, you know, my dad grew up with Pete Macaulay, and so I had some interest. I wanted a guitar, and Macaulay had a $110 Samick Series A special with an amp that came along with it, so that was in the budget, and went over there, and we got the banana yellow Series A. And, yeah, I just kind of went home, and I played along with all my records, a lot of Butthole Surfers and L7 records.
Fuck, they haven't been mentioned.
What's that?
They haven't been mentioned on the podcast yet. L7, Butthole Surfers, so that's fucking going back.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're talking like 91, I guess, is, you know.
What are you now? Like, how old are you right now? You're what? Yeah, 40...
I just turned 45.
Yeah, I just turned 43 this past weekend, so... We're in the same sort of age demographic, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so I just kind of, like, noodle along with those, you know, and I started writing some, like, shitty music, shitty lyrics. But it was something, you know, it was like something I wanted, like I was interested in. And I think my interest in actually writing songs, and I'm like, well, what do? Do I learn piano? Do I learn? And you know, Cambridge is kind of a blue collar town. I'm like, don't want to play piano. The dudes will think it's weird or something. So it's like, you know. Okay, I'll just learn guitar. And so my friends showed me a power chord, and that was kind of it.
That was it? I had one power chord, and that got you hooked, eh?
Well, I mean, you know, then I could, like, you got a power chord down, you can play the chords all over the guitar that way.
Yeah, that's what I mean, too. Like, I wasn't joshing you, I was just saying, like, one power chord, like, that's how I started, too, and...
Yeah,
I was playing guitar, and then I learned like three power chords, and then I figured out my fingers were too fat for it, so, and too long, so then I started playing bass. So, but I don't play anymore because I'm not saying I'm good, but I'm not good. I'm like mediocre, if you will.
Well, you know.
Yeah. Is what it
everything
is.
Everything in mediocrity except mediocrity itself.
There you go, right?
That's the same.
Anyway, yeah, keep going.
Once I could kind of have a bass to hum a melody along with, I was kind of off to the races. And here we are.
That's it, man.
30-something years later.
That's fucking wicked. I always enjoy when you fucking play. I've never had the chance to see you play with a full band. I want to fucking see that. You should bring that to the brewery.
Yeah. Well, I've talked to Spencer about it. I did some shows at the ANAF a few years back, but I guess I'm seeing shows. They're putting on more shows there now. But no, the brewery would be great for the trio.
110%.
What's that?
110% it would be.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Who knows? I'll talk to Spencer about it, and maybe we'll line something up this year.
Yeah, figure something out. What is your favorite genre of music? Like, what genre of music do you usually go to if you're listening?
I don't know. I really like kind of lately, like stuff that kind of leans towards psychedelic, almost, like, you know. There's a band called Psychic Ills I'm really digging.
What are they like?
And like Brian Jonestown Massacre kind of West Coast psychedelic. Well, it doesn't really matter, West, East, British. I just like the different, like, the there's no boundaries, really.
Yeah.
And kind of lackadaisical guitar solos, but it all makes sense. It's just like, it's just a vibe. It's more of a vibe. I do yoga, so I just do it here in my living room. Like, I was doing hot yoga before the pandemic, and then, you know, you're just at home, and you're like, I'm like, I didn't do it for months. And obviously I'm not like cranking the heat here to do hot yoga in my apartment or anything, but
do you imagine what the bill would be like?
I'm like, it's probably it'll probably be like more expensive if I do that than to just go pay for a hot yoga class. But at the time I couldn't anyway. So you know, I got doing these routines. There was a bunch of like power yoga stuff online. People even in the fella I started following, actually, which I'll give him a plug, it's Move Nourish Heal on YouTube, and he has hundreds of videos up there, and he's a totally cool dude. I had an injury as well in the pandemic, and I was just like, is there a routine I could do that's like easy without having to use your feet too much, because I almost cut my toe off. I was doing landscaping, and anyway, use your imagination how that happens. So that was my pandemic occupation. That was my secondary occupation in life, was landscaping for 2 years. Anyway,
yeah.
So Move, Nourish, Heal. So I'd be doing these 1 hour yoga things, and eventually, like by the end of it, for a couple years now, I've just been doing my own kind of routines. But then I'm listening to like the psychedelic background is kind of fun. I was listening to a lot of Grateful Dead in the pandemic, and I think I got through just about every live concert they have available. So
yeah,
it's kind of fun.
That sounds fun. Yeah, when was the last time I listened to the Dead? Fuck, I don't know. I should get back into that. I used to listen to them like back in the day, but during the pandemic, I was sort of doing the same thing too. Like before the pandemic, I was like doing powerlifting and stuff like that, and doing CrossFit. And then I got myself in really good shape, whatever. And then I just continued it during COVID, and then I started doing online movement videos, if you will, like classes for people just to keep the movement right. So before that, I got my Cam Fit, and it's like I can train it and stuff like that. And like I can write you out a dietary, and I can, you know, write you out a 3 week schedule routine on what to do and stuff like that. Or 3 to 4 or 5 or 4 to 5, whatever. Anyways, that's what I started doing. In the pandemic, so kept me fucking going. If I wasn't doing that, I don't know what I'd fucking be doing right now. But I was also cooking food at the Handsome Devil too, so that kept me busy too. So, man. So how long have you been playing in Toronto for?
Oh, like playing or living? I guess I've been playing here since I've been playing anywhere else, really. But I think my first gig in Toronto was was Room 101 at the Elma Combo back in, I don't know, 97 or something like that.
Holy fuck, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago.
It is. Really.
It's all the same way, man. Like, whatever.
Yeah, and it's going to be 30 years in, you know, 3 years. So it is crazy.
Are you going to do like a 30-year anniversary show?
I don't know about that, but
or do a show on the day.
I've got a new record I'm kind of focused on now, so it's getting this done. There's, you know, there's a couple more days in the studio of mixing, and then we're good to go. So sometime this year, probably, I'm thinking the fall, and I've got some my friends there at Slaptown Cider in Uxbridge, another brewery, but like a cidery, I guess they call it. I started playing at in the pandemic. So like half of the places I play now were like microbreweries or cideries or whatnot in the last 5 years, which is crazy to think, because I was in about 10 bands and playing, 50% different places 4 years ago.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know. Things just kind of worked out somehow, you know, Toronto's, a lot of places did shut down in Toronto, so Toronto's been the hardest pill to swallow as far as, like, you know, here's the place that I used to play. Although the places I do play in Toronto now are the fucking best places, in my opinion, in the city, so.
Where do you play in Toronto? Yeah.
I play the local on Roncesvalles. I play the Rod Gun and Barber in the Junction. That's where I am.
Yeah.
Like this. So this Wednesday, I'm at Sellers and Newell, the hip bookstore there. Castro's. We're gonna be there this Sunday, the 10th. And that's in the Beach. I play Sauce on the Danforth the last Sunday of every month. So most of these are monthlies.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's enough space in between, and like building following in each little place has been like, it's been fantastic.
Yeah, no, like so, every time I see you, like I've only gotten to see you play at two places, and they've been on Allure. I think I've seen you play in Guelph at
the Woolly.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So the Woolly, I'm still doing the Woolly every couple months. I'll be back there in April. That's one of my favorite rooms. Just that, it's like the Guelph's living room, I call it.
That's awesome. Guelph's living room. Basically, you know, is Guelph's living room.
What's that?
I said basically is Guelph's living room.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's a, you know, it gets pin drop quiet in there. You know,
yeah,
and people sing along. They know the songs, and that's kind of like what you're looking for, I think, when you're singing your own tunes. So, I always have a great time there.
So when you mentioned about a new album, so when you said fall?
Yeah, I think it's fall. It's gonna be on vinyl. It's my first. It'll be my first vinyl.
Holy shit, how much does that cost you?
Well, that's what the people at Slabtown Cidery are helping me out with, so... You know, it ain't cheap, but it's probably it's... I don't know what the cost is. I won't be making much on the resale, but... It's just the fact that, like, what do you do? CDs? I mean... I sell CDs, you know, to the 40 plus crowd. I'm probably more like 50 plus crowd.
Yeah.
And they're great for it. Like, you know, I still have people that'll buy my whole catalog if they dig it enough, you know, like, and which is good because I want to get rid of the CDs that I've already manufactured, obviously. I don't know. I don't know what the future is, and I'm going to try this vinyl thing, see what happens, and you know, a lot of people will just kind of scope it out immediately on their streaming service and see if I'm on there, and then
all the streaming platforms.
I'm not making a sale there, so
yeah. Oh yeah, no shit, right? Well, that's the thing too. Is like I just did a podcast with Tarantula Tapes. And they're a small tape company in Barrie, and what they've been doing, there's a lot of fucking bands that are doing it in Toronto, like putting their stuff on cassette, because it's affordable and it's like really fun to have, I guess.
Right.
I've got a bunch of tapes right now from a bunch of bands too. But have you ever thought of doing like Bandcamp with the new album?
Yeah, I'm gonna look into that for sure.
Because you can sell your merch on there too, huh?
Yeah, like the T-shirts I have right now are selling really good. Those seem to be going like crazy. So those are fun. That was an idea I had a couple years ago, and my buddy Matt Manna came up with the kind of stag skull idea. So you know, in lieu of CD sales. I sell a T-shirt, as many T-shirts as I do CDs nowadays.
That's all right, though. But yeah. Like, you're busy, dude. Like, I was remember I was trying to book you for the Handsome Devil. I guess I'm gonna say two St. Patty's, or like last St. Patty's, maybe. Was it last St. Patty's? Yeah, it was last St. Patty's. And like, you're busy, man. Like, you're a busy dude. Like, it's St. Patrick's Day. You play like, you had like 3 or 4 gigs lined up that whole day.
I mean, I think I was making up for the previous 2 or 3 years where we didn't have any St. Patrick's Day. So I did 3 gigs that day, and I was pretty worn out by the end of it. But this year I'm just doing the Handsome Devil because I had the most fun there, and I'm going to take it easy on myself. But
yeah.
I'm glad we could squeeze that in last year, though, because I had a great time.
Yeah, I know. It was fun, dude. And like I said, you always play fucking... You always rock, man. Like, every time I see you, it's always banger after banger. Yeah, man. What's the last tune that you listened to?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The last tune I listened to...
Or last band. You can say band, too.
It was today. Oh, it was it was Ministry.
Fucking right, dude. That's wicked. I knew you had something.
They have a new album.
Is it good? Hello.
Okay. My phone died.
Well, you know.
Stuff happens. Technology. So you were talking about Ministry.
Yeah, well, you asked me the last band I was listening to, and I was like, I definitely was listening to it, and I was making dinner tonight, and I put on the new Ministry album, and, yeah, it's fun. Al's always got some interesting stuff going on there, so, I went to see them again, because, I saw them in 2005.
Fuck you, but, really?
I didn't. I was supposed to go see them in the 90s, but they were playing, and I was going on a school trip to New York, and I was leaving the day they were doing the Varsity Arena show for Filth Pig, which for me is, like, still to this day, it's a masterpiece, and it's totally different than anything they ever did, and it's my favorite record by them. It's why I'm still a fan to this day. So 2005... I'll tell that story first. For years, I was like, man, I want to go see Ministry, even up until like last year. And my buddy Bob goes, we saw them. And I said, what do you mean we saw them? I swear we saw them. I swear we saw them. Nah, we didn't see them. And I recently, I just collect vinyl now. So I had all my CDs in storage and I sold my collection. But in my collection, I used to put all the stubs in the CD cases.
Yeah.
And this is a horrible story to tell because I'm trying to sell people CDs and I'm selling my collection. Anyway.
Yeah, it's totally cool, man.
It's a CD collection is heavy real estate in a Toronto apartment. But anyway, yeah, so I make room for vinyl. But anyway, so I'm going through my CDs and I find the stub from the Ministry concert in 2005. And I swear, I do not remember this show whatsoever. Like, I can, if I think about it real hard, I could maybe get a flash. But anyway, those were,
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I've been, you know, yeah, no, I went to,
mid-20s. Those were my mid-20s. So yeah. Let's just put it that way.
Well, like, whatever. Like, I've talked about drugs and stuff on here on the podcast before. I was, fucking, I think it was like... Chris Cornell was doing his solo tour.
Yeah.
On his, like, second solo album. Because he's got two. Okay. Pretty sure he's got two.
Yeah.
Same story. Going to my buddy. I'm like, fuck, guys. We got to go see fucking Chris Cornell. Like, I've never seen Chris Cornell live. And he looks at me in the fucking bus. And he's like, what are you on right now? I'm like, oh, what do you mean? He's like, we saw him 4 years ago. I'm like, no, we didn't. He's like, are you fucked? So then he pulls up his fucking Facebook. He's like, you're right there. I was right there. I'm like, well, was I there mentally? He's like, well, no, you took a bunch of acid and drank some beers. We had to carry you home.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you know what? In my own mind, I never saw him. So we have to go to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's those ones are always good.
Yeah,
totally. So, well, this year, to bring it all back home, my buddy Bob and I went to see them this year. They played with, it was my favorite show of last year. And you know, I bought the tickets because Ministry were the tipping point, even though I love, so there was, it was Filter, Ministry, Alice Cooper, and Rob Zombie.
Oh, fuck, and I was like, going to go to that show, man.
No, it was so good.
Was that up Budweiser was, stage?
Yeah.
Fuck, I was going to go to that show. God damn it.
Yeah, it was a game changer. Like, I mean, it just got better and better and better. And Rob Zombie's certainly, like, nothing short of probably the best rock, like, showman as far as stage. It's not just him, it's the stage. I mean, the drummer was, like, 50 feet up in the air or something like that. It was crazy.
Yeah, I know.
It looked like Castle Grayskull, like the He-Man.
Castle Grayskull.
Like a character. It was like he's running around the stage like this character in this horror film, and it was just like it just kept getting wilder and wilder. I mean, Alice Cooper blew the roof off the place. Al and Ministry did the same. Like it just, I walked in and Filter were doing.
Picture,
you know, they were doing the Hey Man, Nice Shot or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's a good fucking track, dude. Because
they're just killing it. And like while we were walking in, we could hear them playing, and I'm like, they sound really good, and they were really good.
Yeah.
And it's a solid. They're doing that tour again this year. I don't think they're coming to Toronto, but yeah, if you're anywhere and you can see that show, it's. They've got it going on. It's a super fun festival of freaks or something like that. But anyway,
yeah, I know.
So finally got to see Ministry. It was 12 bangers, and he did not disappoint. It was amazing.
I saw Rob Zombie. Fuck, where the hell was I? I think I was at Budweiser. It was either at Echo Beach or Budweiser Stage, and. I don't give a shit what anyone says. He like you too. Like he is the best rock stage performer out there. It's like yeah, it's like watching a fucking show. It's like watching a fucking horror movie, man. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a whole show. Like the real deal.
And everyone goes to me. They're like, "Oh well, fuck Rob Zombie." They put their nose up to it. I'm like, dude, you don't even know what the fuck you're missing. You're going to walk in there and it would be like a fucking 75-minute long horror movie. It's amazing. It's so good. And he's got John Five playing for him too.
Right.
Right. And he's a good guitar player too.
He was in Nine Inch Nails, wasn't he?
John Five. He played
in Power Man 5000 or?
Yeah, he was in Power Man 5000 and then
wasn't that Rob's brother?
Yeah, Rob's brother was the singer. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And then he plays in Motley Crue right now.
Oh, as well, right. Because sure, yeah.
What's his face is all
McMars, yeah.
Not doing too well.
Right.
But yeah, I know Rob Zombie. I've seen that. I wanted to go to that show, man. I was gonna fucking see if Sam and Jennifer wanted to go. But I think I was working, but fuck man, Rob Zombie live. Could you imagine if Alora Riverfest had Rob Zombie live? The whole town would melt. They'd be like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, I don't know if that's the vibe, but
fuck, man, that'd be cool. I'd pay $200 a ticket to see that across the river. I'd know that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So we were talking about your new album. You were planning that at the end of. The fall, and you're gonna print it all on what do you call it?
We got vinyl and then digital release to start, you know, and then see what happens from there. But I've been working hard at it. I just went in last May. We've been working on it since May. Go in once a month, kind of take a month to go over things, and then revisit. So there's some you know, there's some space between decisions being made. So. There's some bare bones acoustic stuff on there, and then there's like full out kind of symphonic arrangements. You know, unintentional. It just kind of worked out this way. So I'm really happy with it. So,
how many tracks is it there, Lucas?
We went in with 14. We got it. It's 11. It's going to be 11 tracks.
And what are you going to do with the other tracks?
Out of the other three, there was one that kind of made it to the halfway point, so I might revisit that one. Then the other two were just kind of, I'll have to think about those ones later down the line. But this plays like an album. That was part of the problem with those ones too. It was like a couple of them were a little comparable to other ones, and I'm like, is there room for another one like that, or just use the better one? You know, like just same kind of vibe of a song kind of thing as one that's stronger at the time. So yeah, it was just, it was the first two were an easy process to eliminate. It was but the third one, it was a little later along, and it's like, shit, how much time and money have I spent to putting this one together? But I think I cut it out early enough where it didn't break the bank, but we got 11, and it's a nice set, and it makes sense as kind of like an entire grouping. It flows like it's its own piece, like all the 11 tunes. So
nice. So you've mentioned, give me all your socials for the Lucas Stagg project.
Okay. Well, I mean, main one for dates and stuff, go to lucasstagg.com. Two S's, two G's, Lucas with a C, lucasstagg.com. I mean, most updates will be there. And I always update my Instagram, which is just lucasstagg, and Facebook. I'm still on there too. Hopefully one day that doesn't have to be, but as for now, I mean, we're talking about all these, you know, psychedelic bands and ministry and stuff, but I do go around with an acoustic guitar and a harmonica and play folk music for people. So
yeah, well, folk music's good, man. Like another band I'm like actually really into, Amigo the Devil.
Right. Okay, I've never heard of him.
Gotta check him out. He's a folk singer. He sings about murder.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
I like a good murder ballad.
Yeah, man, he's got a song about Jeffrey Dahmer.
Okay.
It's called Dahmer Goes to Hollywood.
I like it.
And when you throw it on your Spotify, read the lyrics, and it's a fun song. And well, it's not funny because the shit actually happened, but
gotcha.
It's a fun song. Like when you're how he puts the lyrics towards it, it's. It's a good one. It's a good one to smoke a joint too.
Awesome.
Yeah, man. Okay, thanks for doing this, Lucas. Sorry for the hiccup with the phone, but you know what? That's the best thing about Reaper. You can edit everything out.
Yeah, just slam her together.
Slam her together.
Good. Thanks for having me, Sean. This is it's been fun talking to you. I think we got an hour here, so that's good.
Yeah, man. We're totally good, man. And I'll see you next time you're in Laura, okay, buddy?
All right, maybe see you St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, yeah, yes. You will see me seeing Patrick's Day. I will see you there for sure.
Okay.
Okay, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Cheers.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.